Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our pastoral resident, Scotty Miser.
For those of you just joining us, it is our last day in the book of Isaiah. Probably not forever, but we are wrapping it up for now. And to build a little bit of context, a lot of what we've talked about in Isaiah has to do with a people in exile, longing for deliverance. But in the last couple weeks, these passages have been aimed toward a people who have come home, they've been delivered from exile, they're back in Jerusalem, and it's kind of a mess. It's a little run down. It's not actually a home that's all that exciting to come back to. And so now that they've come home to a broken city, they've begun the hard work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And they're wondering, I think, based on the text, they're wondering if God sees the work that they're doing. They're wondering if what they're doing counts for anything. Last week, Gary talked a little bit about these desperate prayers of God, do something. God, do something with this broken city, with this broken home. Restore us. And in this passage, we see a little bit more of what God's response is. And what God basically says is, yeah, I'm going to restore your city. I'm going to restore Jerusalem. But it's not going to stop there. It's actually going to continue. What God does is he lays out a blueprint for a new creation. God says, I'm actually going to change the whole game up. God lays down essentially what is a blueprint for heaven on earth. Now, he doesn't give a timeline, right? He doesn't say exactly how, and he doesn't say exactly when, but he says, if you want to see my kingdom on earth, this is what it will be working towards. So what I want to do today is go over what this blueprint for heaven on earth is, what this blueprint is for the kingdom of God, some three basic things I see in this passage, and I want to look at how this blueprint is continued on in the mission of Jesus and in the mission of the church as something God is accomplishing today through us. But if you take away nothing else, take away this. Banner headline, in God's kingdom, what is broken will be restored. In God's kingdom, all that is broken will be restored. Amen? The first point that is made in this passage, the first point God makes is he talks about the brokenness of the body. Broken bodies healed. So this passage says, never again will there be in Jerusalem an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child, and the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. So right away, we see that God's plan for heaven on earth is not merely sentimental. God's not merely saying, believe in me, follow me, and what I will do for you is help you feel good. What God is promising here is an end to the harsh shortness of life in exile. What God is promising is life. Life will no longer tragically be cut short. And we see this mission continue on in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus' ministry largely revolves around healing the sick. It revolves around caring for the diseased, and it revolves around restoring dignity to those in mourning, right? He doesn't merely heal people's bodies, he heals their hearts. He restores Lazarus physically, but he also recognizes and dignifies loss. In the shortest verse in the Bible, we see Jesus wept for his friend Lazarus. Jesus cares for the sick. How does this translate to today? Viewing death and loss differently in light of this blueprint. I had to think about it in terms of my own disease. A lot of you know I'm a type 1 diabetic. And what does it change in me to consider this promise that however it's going to look when God wraps this whole thing up, there will be no more disease. However it's going to look when God wraps this whole thing up, our bodies will no longer feel like our enemies. We'll finally feel at home. I think what it does is it encourages me and it gives me endurance to care for this in the meantime, because I know it's not going to have to last forever. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know that in the kingdom of God, all that is broken will be restored. So if you want to bring heaven closer, if you want to bring heaven closer to earth today, this week, care for the sick. Care for the sick. Mourn with those who mourn. And know that the loss we feel will not define us forever. In God's kingdom, what is broken will be restored. Amen. The other thing that God promises in this new kingdom is that broken systems will be ended. God says you're not merely going to survive, you're not merely going to live a long time, but you're going to be able to live in the same place. You're going to actually no stability where you are. Let's look at those next couple verses. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. Again, this is God speaking to the former exile of the people. Working for a home you're not able to live in was a common piece of living outside of your home city. And we never do this today, right? We're never overworked. We never work all day and all night for a home we're not actually able to rest in. But we do. We do this all the time. That was a sarcastic hypothetical, guys. We do this all the time. And what we see here is the people of Jerusalem will no longer be on the fringes of society. And we see this continued in the mission put forward by James, where he says, true religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So this mission that God puts forward for Jerusalem, it doesn't end with Jerusalem. It continues with Jesus, and it continues with the church. In a society that was far more family-centric than ours is today, the orphans and widows were even more outcast. So do you want to bring heaven closer to earth? Make your home a place where those left behind can rest. That's the blueprint that God is putting forward. Make your home a place where those left behind can rest. Because in God's kingdom, what is broken is made whole. Amen. There's one more piece. It's kind of the one that confuses me the most, but I do want to bring it forward. We talk about creation itself being restored. This is where things really start to go next level. We're talking about individual bodies and disease and life. Okay, take one step further. Broken governments, broken systems will be restored. And now, nature itself is going to see the redemption of God. The verse that's put forward is this: the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. What we see here is that even the deadly harshness of nature will somehow be healed. It's a bananas idea that Jerusalem is actually going to be so holy that in it even the dogs and the cats are going to play nice, that in it even the predators and the prey are no longer going to be defined by antagonism. And what this means for God's larger plan for the animal kingdom, I don't really know. But I do know that so often creation seems and is an unsafe place for us to live. Has anyone here ever been to Niagara Falls? Yeah. I went there for the first time a number of years ago. And this is going to sound funny, but I was walking up to the edge of it, and there was this part where the guardrails weren't super sturdy. Like, the wires kind of were fraying, and the fence was sort of dilapidated, and I was way closer to Niagara Falls than I had any business being. Like, I had some serious complaints about the infrastructure of Niagara Falls at that point. But the thing that blew my mind, even though maybe it shouldn't have, was that Niagara Falls did not care about me. Like, I looked at that water going by, and I was like, you know, if I stepped in there, I'd be dead. Like, there's no question about it. I would be dead. I would die. I would be dead. I'd be dead. I'd be dead. Niagara Falls doesn't care. Creation's not going to let up just because I made a mistake. And so I'm just staring there while everyone else is, like, enjoying far more scenic parts of the falls. And I'm just, like, caught up in my own mortality and the cold uncaringness of nature. The world does not always feel like home. The world does not always feel like it was built for us, like it was made for us to live in. And I don't know what restoring that is going to look like, but I do know what this passage is taking us back to. The passage is taking us back to Eden. When it says dust will be the serpent's food, that's not actually talking about literal animals. They're not like, oh, it's going to be great for all the animals except for the snakes. They have to eat dirt. What it's talking about is sin will no longer reign. A restored creation, while I don't know what it looks like for the animal kingdom, I know that in Eden, what we're shown in Genesis 1 is where the relationship between humans and nature is no longer conquest, it's stewardship. It's painting a picture of creation that is, in one sense, made for us, but is also given to us as a responsibility to take care of. Nature is no longer a god to worship, as the ancients would view it sometimes, and it's not a thing to conquer, as we so often do. But it's a home. It's a home to take care of. So as funny as it may sound, do you want to bring heaven closer to earth? Then take care of the earth. Take care of creation. Because it's not just humans that God wants to redeem. In some level, all of creation is being brought into God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, what is broken will be restored. Amen? Amen. So I feel like I just heaped a lot of responsibilities on you. I heaped a lot of moral edicts on you. Take care of the sick. Give rest to the weary. take care of the earth. But I'm not just heaping a bunch of responsibility on you for the sake of itself. There's good news here. There's good news because this work is good. And the work, ultimately, is not something that will be solely accomplished by us. This work of restoration, this work of bringing heaven somehow to earth, this is a thing that God promises, and it's a thing God is doing. We're invited to join, but we're not so messed up that we can actually stop it. We're told how it ends. In God's kingdom, what is broken will be restored.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.